Chapter 8. Perpignan. Linda's wedding to Christian was very different from her wedding to Tony. It was small and very quick. Only Davy and I came, and none of the Radlett family were there. Lord Merlin sent presents, but he did not come. Christian also arrived late. "He's very handsome," Davy said. "But this wedding is such a mistake." Christian moved into the house that Lord Merlin had bought for Linda. She soon realised that she was not happy, but she never told me or her family. Christian was very kind to her, but he was too busy with his work and hardly noticed Linda, just like Lord Merlin said. Linda's house was always full of Christian's communist friends. They talked, drank, and often slept on Linda's sofa. Twice a week, Linda worked in a communist bookshop. The owner of the bookshop was an enormous and silent communist named Boris. Boris liked to get drunk from Thursday afternoon to Monday morning. This was when Linda worked. On those days, Linda often changed the communist books for books by famous writers. The bookshop soon became the only communist bookshop to make money. "You know, being a communist is so tiring," Linda said during one of her visits. "I like Christian's friends, but sometimes they make me so angry. They speak about the rich like Tony spoke about the poor. It's fine that they hate Celeste, but I hate that they also hate Father. They just don't understand that they're very different from each other."
"Have you explained that to them?" I asked.
"Yes, well, I try to. Celeste is a banker and he gets his money in London. Father gets it from his land and also gives a lot back to the land. Not just money, but also jobs. And look at all the things that he does for no money. All those boring meetings with the neighbours. Christian's friends don't understand the countryside."
It was now 1939, and Christian had gone to work with refugees in Perpignan, a small town in France. Thousands and thousands of Spanish refugees had left Spain during the Spanish War and crossed the mountains into France. But the French did not welcome them, and the refugees were not allowed to leave Perpignan. Christian wanted to help, so he travelled to Perpignan as soon as he could. Not long after Christian had arrived in France, he asked Linda to join him. She bought a return ticket and left very quickly. I went with Linda to the train station to say goodbye. She looked very English in her long, expensive coat with a magazine under her arm. "I hope you have left your diamonds at home," I said.
"Oh, darling, don't tease me. You know that I left them with Tony," she laughed nervously. "I'm so scared of sleeping on the train alone."
First, Linda arrived in Paris. She looked out of the window and saw that it was very beautiful.
"One day I will return to Paris and be very happy," she thought.
But she knew that it was not possible. Christian would never want to live in Paris. Although she spoke a little French, Linda did not understand a single word. Christian met her at Perpignan train station, and it was clear that he was very busy. He gave her a quick kiss and spoke only about the refugees. He did not ask about her journey or how she was. When they arrived at his office, he introduced her to Robert Parker and Randolph Pine. Robert and Randolph seemed happy that Linda had arrived, and they were very friendly to her.
"You must give me some work to do," Linda said. There is a lot to do. Do you speak Spanish? Robert asked.
No,
Linda replied. Oh well, you'll soon learn, Robert said.
I don't think I will, Linda said.
Christian sat down at his desk. Lavender will find her a job, he said.
Lavender?
Linda said. Yes, Lavender Davis.
No, I know her. She lived near me when I was a child. She came to my wedding.
She said that she knew you, Robert said. She's wonderful. She works very hard. Actually, she's the hardest worker I've ever seen. I know what you can do, Randolph said. You can assign the rooms on the ship that leaves with some of the refugees next week. Now, here is a map of the ship. We have good rooms and not very nice rooms. Here are the names of the families. Can you choose rooms for all of them?
But how do I decide who gets the good rooms? Linda asked.
It doesn't matter. There are no rich or poor people. Everybody here is the same. Lavender Davis now appeared. She was the same Lavender, ordinary and boring, with short brown hair and no makeup. She was happy to see Linda, and, to her surprise, Linda was happy to see Lavender too. It was nice to see someone that she knew. For the next few weeks, Linda was both fascinated and frightened. She liked Perpignan. It was a strange little town, so different from anything she had ever known. Spring came late and slowly, but when it did, it was very hot. Linda went to visit the refugees nearly every day. She worked as a driver, bringing food and sending messages. She hated seeing such young and healthy men and women in such a horrible situation. She began to think that Uncle Matthew was right about foreigners and that awful things like this could only happen abroad. One day, as she sat in her car talking to the refugees, a voice said, "Linda, what are you doing here?" It was her brother Matt. He looked a lot older than she remembered, but extremely handsome. They threw their arms around each other. "I've seen you many times," Matt said. "I hid because I thought that Father had sent you to bring me home. But then someone said that you're married to Christian Talbot. Did you leave Tony?"
"Yes," said Linda. "I thought that you were back in England."
"Well, no," said Matt. "I'm an officer now."
"You're very thin. Can I get you anything?" Linda asked.
"Some cigarettes would be nice."
After this, Linda saw Matt most days, which made her very happy.
The only other thing that made Linda happy was assigning the rooms on the refugee ship. "How did you assign the rooms?" Robert asked, after she had finished.
"Why, was it okay?"
Linda asked, worried. "It was very good," Robert said, smiling.
"Well, I gave the best rooms to the people who had Labrador on their card. I had a Labrador when I was younger. He was my favourite dog."
"Ah, now I understand," Robert said. "Labrador, in Spanish, means labourer. So most of the poor people and the labourers had the nice rooms, while the rich people had the bad rooms. That'll teach them not to be so rich. You did very well."